Turn, if you will, in your Bibles tonight to Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. Verse 2. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 2. Simply reads, "Thus saith the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. Israel, when I went to give him rest." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, that even though in times we have difficulties, we know that your grace is sufficient. And God, speak to our hearts tonight that we might see your word for us, and we'll give you the praise. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Most of you here tonight are home folks, I suppose, and most of you I really don't want to talk about the grace of God. God's grace is sufficient. He says here, "Thus said the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness." Many times we've referred to things as God's grace is sufficient. Or we'll tell somebody, no matter what they're going through, that God's grace is sufficient. Paul said during a time of great difficulty in 2 Corinthians 2, 12:9, that his grace is sufficient for thee. God told him that his grace is sufficient. Now, I love that statement that is found in Jeremiah. They found grace where? In the wilderness. They found grace in the wilderness. Now, many of us, in the difficult times of life, have found grace in the wilderness. The wilderness may be a waiting room where your loved one is in intensive care, and you found grace in that wilderness. In time of sickness of a child or loss of a child, you found grace in the wilderness. Lying awake at night, not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow, and you can't sleep, but you found grace in the wilderness. There is grace in the wilderness of life. And we need to remember that God's grace is sufficient in all our needs. And I want us to look at tonight at how his grace is sufficient in all our needs. In the difficult times of life, in the wilderness means simply the desert places of life. I think of old Ezekiel in the Valley of Dry Bones. Man, I love that scripture there. Naturally, I think of him being in that desolate place in his life, an area where the rain was limited. It wasn't much there. The ground was dry and cracked open and very little rain. Life in the wilderness can be a terrible place, a place where it is, the conditions are very harsh. I don't know what you're going through tonight. Like I said, most of us are home folks, but I believe God's got us here for a purpose. And someone may be in that wilderness or that dry condition. You see, we get dry spiritually. Amen or oh me. I know we get dry spiritually. We become barren and desolate in our lives, and the showers that we sing of blessings, they're not there anymore. The windows of heaven are closed, shut up, and we can't see anything in our life really going our way, and we cry out sometime to God in those wilderness experiences. But he seems like he's not listening, don't he? Have you ever felt like God was away from you? He was somewhere out there, but we couldn't see his face at that moment in that time in our life. His face seems to be hid from us. Remember Job? Job was a man that he served God. He was a great guy. He loved the Lord, but yet he cries out, "Where, Lord, do you hide your face from me?" Where are you hiding? Man, sometimes it's just that dry, isn't it? The psalmist cried out in Psalm 88:14, Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why did you hide your face from me? I wonder, in our life, are we facing a dry wilderness area somewhere tonight that we don't know? We don't seem to be in touch with God. Maybe he's hiding his face from us. That's the hard times in life. That's the wilderness places in life. There are desolate places in our life that come along where we don't know where to turn. And then there's the despairing conditions. Once again, I think about Ezekiel. Looking at those dry bones, he must have thought, what in the world has happened to Israel? What is the world? The worst of all environments. I was heard a show say the other day that the hottest place in Texas, I mean the hottest place in the world, rather, is Death Valley. It says Death Valley, it's named Death Valley for a reason. Things just don't live there. It's so hot and so dry, I think they said it may get a half an inch of rain a year in Death Valley. And the temperatures average over 100. How can anything live? Now, I believe that's what Ezekiel kind of saw as he looked at the dry bones. He saw the burning sun by day, and at night they say it's so cold and freezing by night. And a weary person, a traveler, finds himself in a place of desolation and despairing in life. And they wonder where God is. You see, there's no food spiritually coming to us. There's no spring of living water. And we wonder if God has just shut up the windows of heaven in our life. But he says, my grace is sufficient for you. God's grace is sufficient, he says, in the wilderness. You see, there's all kinds of wilderness experiences that stretch our faith. We have to trust God and believe God. And many times these wilderness experiences push us to the very brink of despair. I like David in his writings in Psalm 102, verse 6. David said, I am like a pelican. Now, think about that. I'm like a pelican in the wilderness. When I first came to Gun Barrel, and I first crossed the lake, we have some pelicans. Now, to me, those pelicans were out of place. They were supposed to be on the ocean. I had never seen one until I came up here this far inland, but someone said they got pushed this way by a hurricane one time, and they just stayed. Well, think what David said. He said, I am like a pelican in the wilderness. I am completely out of place. I don't belong here. Nothing's going right. Or he said, I'm like an owl of the desert. He felt so out of place in his life. He felt so alone in his life. He realized, I've lost it all in my life. Wilderness places in our life come along. Whether it's in intensive care or whether the doctor gives you a bad report or whether it's your child or whether it's your wife or whether it's your husband or it could be something else. I was watching a show the other night, the people that lost their homes. Moore, Oklahoma, it was as drastic as the storms in America. And Moore, Oklahoma was the one place that more storms hit than any other place. And a family there had lost everything in their house. But she said, we still have each other. You know, wilderness places are all around us. And there are difficult times in our life. But God says, my grace is sufficient for you. And not only do I see a people who are desolate and despairing and difficult times have hit them? The people who survived the sword, it says, we see a distressed people here. The people of Israel who survived the sword. That tells me that there's been a distressing calamity behind in their life. Somewhere in their life, there's been a calamity, and they're in the wilderness. And I happen to believe Jeremiah here is talking, no doubt he's speaking of the great Assyrian devastation when they came upon the nation of Israel. And they just devastated Israel and the people and the blood. Brother Perry talked about Wednesday night, the blood running through the streets. City after city after city fell to this mighty army. And many were killed by the sword. Children, mothers, fathers. But he says here, the people who survived the sword. There were some that survived. You see, war is never a good thing, but it always helps if you're on the winning side. Amen? But people had died, and they're separated from their loved ones. Parents lost children. Children lost parents. It's never a beautiful thing, and it's always very distressing on the people that survive. But the stress is not only left there, the stress is many of them were facing the enemy's sword, so they were ran to the wilderness. They're living now in the wilderness. And in that wilderness, the conditions weren't good. Have you ever thought about living without the good things that we have? I tell you what, electricity went out a couple of weeks ago in our house. And I tell you, man, that's inconvenience, isn't it? You know, I thought about, what if we didn't have that electricity come back on? Our refrigerator, everything in there would ruin. It would be dark. We lit candles and stuff like that, so we'd have a little light. But let me tell you something. Our houses are not made today with a breezeway. And it gets hot pretty quick. We don't see the air that we had flowing back then. But, you know, it wasn't a few years back to our grandparents and great-grandparents. They did all right without air conditioning, you know. But it is distressing. But think about moving into the desert, into the wilderness, the conditions there. Those who managed to escape the sword fled to the wilderness. Now they're fighting another battle. They're in the wilderness and they just want to survive. They just want to survive. Maybe that's you tonight. You're in the wilderness. And you're thinking, how can I go on? I just want to survive today. Somebody asked me a while ago how I was feeling. I said, well, I made it through another day. Almost. You know? Are you at a difficult place in your life? You don't know where to turn? Are you facing a distressing condition? I read something about Charles Spurgeon earlier. He was blessed of God. His church grew constantly, was packed. He rented a Survey Music Hall in London, a very beautiful building. And the place was packed with thousands of people. 10,000 of people would come to hear him preach. And one night someone cried out, fire, fire. People stampeded out and some were killed, died. Charles Spurgeon never really recovered. I think he died at 56 years of age. Folks, he fought a battle with depression from that time on. You see, we all have problems in life. We all have those distressing moments in our life. We all come to those places in the wilderness where we don't really know where to turn. But God says in His Word, they found grace in the wilderness. You know, life can be comfortable one minute and devastating the next, can't it? We got a call the other morning, very early. And boy, when that phone rings early, I told Rhonda, I said, this can't be good. It can't be good. It was. Zach usually don't call that time. It was Zach. And it was good. But you know, we never know when that phone's going to ring and we're going to face a devastating condition in our life. So they had difficult places. They were distressed people. But they had a delightful provision. They found grace in the wilderness. A place of desolation, a place of despair, and God's grace they found sustained them, folks. When you're in a wilderness area, when you're in a distressful area, think about it. God's grace is sufficient. Y'all's Sunday school lesson, my Sunday school lesson was getting closer to God this morning, praising God. No matter what conditions we find in our life, we ought to be drawing closer to God. What kind of grace did they find? Well, I see weariness in their life. Those that survived found grace in the wilderness. Now, it seems that those that survived were weary because they had to flee to the wilderness. And days turned to weeks, and weeks turned to months, and months turned to years. And if they were in that wilderness, not knowing what's going to happen to them, it affected them mentally, it affected them physically, it affects us emotionally. Man, let me tell you, I see people all the time, meet people all the time that are stressed out. They're so wound up, not knowing what they're going to face tomorrow, that physically, emotionally, and mentally, they're just in the wilderness. They're done. And spiritually, they were weary. But the Bible says they found grace in the wilderness. You know, are you tired of the battles and the burden of life? You find grace in the wilderness. Frank Graft was a minister who found himself in deep, deep depression. You know, people get that way sometimes. And one day when life got him at the very lowest that he could stand, he began to sing this song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer." And as he sang that song, he said he began to overcome that depression that filled his life. And God's peace began to fill his life. And he fell to his knees and he began to shout these words, "I know He cares. I know He cares. I know my Savior cares." Not long after that, he wrote this song. "Does Jesus care when my heart is pained? Too deeply for my song? As the burdens press and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long. Yes, He cares. I know He cares. My heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares." You see, folks, there is grace in the weariness of life if we just start praising God. You know, we sing some beautiful praise hymns a while ago. "Everything, every tongue shall confess." Praise God. When we're down and we're out and we face the weariness of life, when we face the circumstances in our life, you know, they're beyond our control. Many times, Start praising God. He cares. Not only were they weary, they were fearful. They found grace, Israel, when I went to give them rest. You know what? They were weary and they were fearful. They were hiding in the wilderness. The Syrians might find them. They might find them. If they did, how would they survive? In captivity? And the fear of the unknown many times makes a long night, doesn't it? I don't know about you, but I've faced many a long night. I found myself filled with despair or filled with fear when I was just alone. I never will forget being alone in Haiti. Boy, that was one feeling I didn't want to have anymore in my life. Being alone in the dark in a foreign country, in a strange land, not knowing the language. And I said, Lord, I know you care. I know you're there. Just watch over me and protect me and bring me back safely home. Oh, there's times of fear in our life when we don't know what the doctor might say. Not long this last month or two, for the people working in our federal, they were fears of layoffs, no income. Fear of retirement grips a lot of people. I don't even know how to think about that yet. But there's grace, the Bible says, in the Lord. And there's grace to be found in the wilderness. I'm reminded of the words of John Newton. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. The psalmist wrote this, "What time I'm afraid, I'm going to trust thee." You see, folks, when we're all alone, what do we trust? We need to trust God. And then there were not only the weariness and the fearfulness, there was their emptiness. Empty in their lives. They're survivors of the sword. Those others died and they were alone. They've lost their families. In many cases, they lost everything. Maybe a father was left, or a mother was killed by a sword, and the children were left. Oh, how awful it would be to have a young boy and a young girl, or just children, all alone in the wilderness. They fled when everybody else fled. They may have just run. They didn't know where to run. But the conditions of their life was one of fear and emptiness and loneliness. And I wonder how many of our senior adults are alone or feel alone. You see? Their children, they put them in nursing homes and don't ever come to see them. It is a crying shame to go to those nursing homes and walk down the halls and no one has seen these people. They don't even know their children hardly anymore. But those who survive in the wilderness of distress, those who survive in the wilderness of grief or sorrows on the inside or outside, they left a vacuum in their heart. Folks, we know that when death comes, if you're a husband or your wife that's lost that husband or wife, there's a void in your heart. There's a void there. Yet for those who are survived, what happened? They found grace in the wilderness. God fills that void if we'll just praise Him. When the doctor has done all that he could do, God's grace is sufficient for us. When we go to make those arrangements at a funeral and it's done, God's grace is sufficient for us. I love that old song, God will take care of you every day, all the way. He will take care of you. God gives us grace, folks. If you're in the wilderness tonight, and you know it. If you're under distress tonight, you know it. If you feel alone tonight and you wonder how you're going to make it tomorrow, God's grace is sufficient for you. His grace is sufficient. Just praise His name. Just sing one of those songs and let His grace into your life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight that Your grace is sufficient. Lord, we all face those tough times, those moments in life when we think we can't go on, but we know that we must go on. We thank You that Your grace is sufficient. And if there's someone here tonight, Lord, that they just feel like they're all alone and they can't make it, let them call upon You. Let them call upon You. For Your word says Your grace is sufficient. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you